study the glorious body of Christ, the church. Let's go to our base scripture first, Galatians chapter 3. And then from there, this morning, I want to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. And last week, I think we had moved into some aspects of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Mm-hmm. We're going to touch on that very briefly, and then we'll move forward. Mm-hmm. By next week, we will hand out to you the second section of the document, The Glorious Body of Christ. Basically, the next 20 pages we will convey to you. We have determined what we will do is move through the second part, section 2, and then we will move to something else with the right to come back to this. Mm-hmm. We shall continue to write and continue to convey to you the message through writing those things that just continually are brought to our mind and to our hearts. This document will probably be, when we get through, some 60 pages or more. But we basically, at the end of the year, going into 2005, we shall move to another section, and then at the appropriate time we'll come back mm-hmm. to this. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader, Brother Deacon. Let's start off in our base scripture. Yes. And let's go verses 26 to 29. And then let's move to Colossians 3:10. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hopefully today we'll get a little further than we went last week. Amen. All right. Everybody got Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Brother Deacon Reed.
Verse 26,
mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Amen.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right, let's quickly move into mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 3, just verse 10 there.
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man.
And have put on the new man.
Which is renewed in knowledge.
Which is renewed in knowledge.
After the image of him.
After the image of him.
That created him.
Okay, now we have spent much time on this. And hopefully now we have a good idea of who the new man is. That he's not the old man. Reformed. He's not the old man in any capacity.
Right.
New means new.
That's
any
right.
man in Christ, or those who are in Christ, they're new.
Mm-hmm.
They're new.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to draw a very strong line of demarcation.
That's right.
Between the old and the new.
Yeah.
The old is the old, and the new is the new.
Mm-hmm.
They are two different fellows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
So as we have progressed into this respect, and we are focused on this renewal process,
mm-hmm.
Again, it's the Holy Spirit who is producing and who has produced this renewing. Who is producing this renewing of which we have to find that when that language is used, they're speaking about the mind. The mind. The renewing is the focusing of the mind on the new man, who is complete.
That's right.
And who has everything that is needed in order for him to be acceptable to God. Okay. He has it already. He is acceptable to God. Else he would never have been placed into the body of Christ.
Come on.
Amen. God doesn't put something into the body of Christ that's not acceptable to him. And he did it in eternity.
Yes, he did.
But this renewing process is a matter of our minds focusing on the new man. Amen. We're yet in these bodies, but we also, through the mind, have put off the old man.
Well,
amen. We have been crucified in Christ, with Christ, and placed into the essence of Christ.
Yeah.
But it is the Holy Spirit who renews our mind, and this is accomplished through the word of God.
Yes, it is.
So it is the Spirit of God, through the use of the word of God, that is the daily function that matures our minds. Again, note the passive voice depicts exclusion of self-efforts. So it is not anything that the old man is doing.
Right.
Amen. This working of the Spirit in our lives basically is that which we call maturation, development of the elect.
Yes.
Amen. But it is totally the work of God. Here again, the Greek phrase "is epinosin" rendered unto a perfect knowledge. It describes the methodology employed in developing a spiritual mind in the believer as one matures.
All
this
right.
is what is alluded to. We won't go back to it again today. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Now, just for a minute again, and we hit this one last time and we move forth, I want you to go to the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Here, Apostle Paul, basically, he lays out, and I think he very succinctly here gives expression of the demarcation of the new man from the old man. All right, Brother Deacon, what I want you to do here, let's see. Let's start at verse 22. Come forward.
Right.
All right, read. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Well, okay, all right. Amen. All are made alive in Christ. All have been made alive.
All right.
In Christ. In the essence of Christ. All right. I don't want to get hung up there. Verse 23, read.
But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power.
All power.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet and all. And I must understand that these things are spoken as it relates to the flow of time, speaking from the sphere of time. It is a done deal because it's in the decree.
Yes.
All right? But the last enemy, verse 26.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Mm-hmm.
For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things.
Oh, notice that word manifest. Manifest. God has worked all of these things out already. Amen. Time is the arena for manifestation only, not determination. There's no question as to whether things will be put under his feet manifestation wise. Amen. Because manifestation must always follow the decree. Manifestation is held captive to the decree. God has decreed must come to pass and will be manifested. Alright, read
verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead?
Let's drop back, I'm sorry, to do 28.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that did put all things unto him, that God may be all and in all. Else?
Now you notice that when all things shall be, that's an aorist subjunctive, and of course they say that is equal to a future indicative. That is really not the case there. That is the case if you express it from the vantage point of time. An aorist subjunctive is in order when you express it from the vantage point of eternity. Aorist, that is a completed action. Subjunctive. That is a probability. So now you have a probable action that is completed. You have a past completed probable action. Amen. That doesn't make too much sense in the sphere of time, but it makes all the sense in the sphere of eternity. The only probability is whether it's in God's decree, because it has occurred. Has occurred. Some things that we do not know, but others we do know. And here is one thing that we do know, and that is all things having been subdued under him, which is traced, it is traced to the decree of God in eternity. Yes. All right, I thought I'd stop and make that one point. Keep reading.
Oh, yes. Verse 29 again. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?
Now here we shall come back a little later in our discourse and touch upon that. Except remember when we're saying baptize, amen, we are speaking of identification, amen. And so, basically, this is not talking about some ritual, some act. Amen. There's much been written, and most of it incorrectly, concerning baptism. Amen. But here, basically, it is that which is identifiably associated with the dead, those who identified with the essence of death of the dead, of separation.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to get hung up on that this morning. Verse 30.
And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?
Which we touched on last week.
31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not?
Which we went through last week again. Amen. He is not literally talking about beast here is talking about those who had opposed him, which some names he did call and that are recorded.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 33.
If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
That's so true. Read.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
All right. Verse 34.
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Amen. Some have not the knowledge of God, which is a preference and statement as he leads into the next section.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 35, read on.
But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?
Mm-hmm.
Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened.
Not alive.
Except it die.
Except it die.
And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Mm-hmm.
All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds.
Mm-hmm.
There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one.
Glory of the heavenly is one.
And the glory of the terrestrial is another.
Glory of the earthly is quite another.
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star.
Saying all of this to say what? Verse 42.
So also is the resurrection of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
Here he gives a distinction, which as we move down into where our focus is today, there is a great distinction, amen, of that to which we occupy now versus that to which God has reserved for us. The difference, y'all follow me here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. The difference between the natural body, the natural physical, and the basic spiritual entity that is the new creation. Amen. They are separate. They are distinct.
He builds
up his case dealing with things that differ, things that are distinct. Amen. And all of that he has said in the verses we have read, it is background now leading up to that which he wished to convey, Spirit conveys. Amen. We must make a distinct separation and differentiation of the old man and the new man.
Yeah.
All right? Read.
Verse 43.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown in dishonor.
Uh-huh.
It is raised in glory.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power.
Verse 44.
It is sown a natural body.
You have
body.
A natural body.
It is raised a spiritual body.
Not the
body.
Same body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. A different body. There are those that teach that the rapture comes, we get up out of the graves in these bodies, and then there's a change and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That to which we shall be, and from the vantage point of time in which we are, from the vantage point of eternity, is a new entity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A new creation. That, amen, which has never been and will never be associated with sin. Amen. The new man, amen, basically is he whom God, amen, created after the nature of himself in eternity. Oh my God. Hallelujah. All right. So the natural body, the spiritual body.
Yes.
Read verse 44 again.
It is sown a natural body.
Mm-hmm.
It is raised a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
There is a natural body.
There is a natural body.
And there is a spiritual body.
Distinct. Distinct.
That's it.
All right. Read.
And so it is written.
And so it is written.
The first man, Adam.
The first man, Adam.
Was made a living soul.
Was made a living soul.
The last Adam.
And the last Adam.
Was made a
well, see, that the way they got that to know that that is not the way that is conveyed in the perfecting class. We've gone through some of this. We'll go back through it maybe today, this afternoon. But notice here, do you notice something in the 45th verse?
Yes.
If you've got a King James, which we're reading from, you notice something strange about the text.
Yes.
It says, the last man
was made.
But what about was made?
What do you
call it? It's italicized. Which means what?
It's not there.
Don't belong there.
That's right.
You say the last man is Christ.
Yeah. That's
right. So he was the last man was made. Christ is self-existent eternally.
Yes.
So you cannot say he was made. Because he is self-existent in eternity, he always was. And that which always was could not be made.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So strike that out.
Mm-hmm.
You got it in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The last man, Adam,
mm-hmm.
a quickening spirit. Always was.
Always.
Always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Verse 46.
46. How be it? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual.
Okay. All right. Verse 47.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And as the earthly earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen. If I say amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's take this and connect this. Remember now, we're into the tenth verse of the third chapter of Colossians. I want you to don't turn from this, but hold, take up something and put it there. Let's go to the third chapter of Colossians. Mm-hmm. So that we can connect these two together, understand what the Apostle Paul has reference to when he speaks of the new man, mm-hmm. and the fact that we have put him on. Amen. Many will read this, and because they will not take time to properly exegete, they will come up with things that does not make sense. But you do have an aorist participle there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And having put on or have put on the new man. That's verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Which is renewed. He's not in the process of being renewed.
That's right.
He is renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's not in the process of being made. He is made. We're not in the process, on the road, on our way to heaven.
All right.
We are heavenly creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just as there are terrestrial bodies, amen, there are celestial bodies.
Oh.
The new man is a celestial body.
Mm-hmm.
He is heavenly. You all don't hear me this morning. Oh my God. He is complete.
Yeah.
And so we put on the new man, and he is renewed. He is renewed. He is renewed in knowledge. Amen. And here, speaking of the perfect knowledge, that perfect knowledge come in understanding the Word of God, and it is conveyed, and it works in our hearts and our minds, and focusing on the new man. Now, as we look at the final phrase of this verse, and here I'm going to go into a little grammar. It reads from the Greek, "Ikonon tou kritisdos afton." It is translated, "corresponding to the image of him who created him." Mm-hmm. Now, we are going to tie this in now into what we have read over in 1 Corinthians. And this as this expression gives description to the essence of what the new man is. Mm-hmm. What is the new man likened unto? What is the new man in essence? He is in essence created in the image, a likeness of the one who brought into existence the new creation. Mm-hmm. We're speaking of Christ. He is in the image of Christ. Amen. From the beginning. Now, contrary to what some teach, this statement could not possibly be evincing a replica of Adam before the fall. Mm-hmm. Many teach that what we shall be is what Adam was before the fall. No. And this is why we have gone to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For Paul said that which is of the earth is earthly. And that which, that which is of the heavenly, heaven. The very fact that Adam, even in his innocent state, was of the earth, earthly, could not possibly make him be the new man who is of the heavenly heavenlies.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh my God.
You're right.
Hallelujah. We must focus on the essence of the new man. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because we need this encouragement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even in his state of innocence, as the first man, there is no basis for this confirmation in that he is designated out of the earth, earthly, as we've just read in the 47th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as reason, as we are born in the image of the earthly, that would be Adam. Whether it was before the fall or after the fall, that was the image of him in his earthly representation.
Yeah.
Amen. But it says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, in stark contrast, the image of the new man, a new creation, evinces a replica of the second man, who has designed the Lord out of heaven. Mm-hmm. In that same 40, who is designated, I should say, the Lord of heaven in the 47th verse. Again, he was not made. Adam was made. Wow. Christ was not made.
Right.
Christ always was.
Wow.
So the new man is after the heavenly one who always was. And he always was complete. And from the beginning, as the new man, he made you complete.
Yes.
For he never could have placed you in him have done.
Oh Lord. My God.
Yes.
So it's not about new hand and new feet.
Oh,
it's about new creation. That is as distinct from the old man as any line of distinction could ever be drawn. Follow me now. Again, the first man is of the earthly. And remember now, in the 44th verse, he said there is a natural body, Adam, and there is a spiritual body, Christ. And basically, the first was made, but the second always was.
Always was. Always was.
Thank God. How good.
Amen.
Yes.
Let that sink in for a second. And what we shall bear is the heavenly. No representation of the earthly. Now this is consistent with what is in 48. Read 48 again. 15, we understand now we're back. We're holding Colossians.
Yes.
Amen. We got to do it this way. We're holding Colossians, but we want you to look at the 48th chapter, 48th verse rather, of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Read that again, Brother Deacon.
1 Corinthians 15:48. As is the earthy.
As if the earthly.
Such are they also that are earthy.
Such they that are earthly. Earthly is earthly.
Yes.
These bodies that we are dwelling in are earthly.
Earthly bodies. Uh-huh.
Read.
And as is the heavenly.
And the heavenly.
Such are they also that are heavenly.
So you can't make the earthly heavenly.
No, you can't do it.
That's it.
Note, God's sovereign purpose and generous, the new man, the new creation, confirmed in righteousness and holiness of the truth, as we have read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 24. This is not possible in the physical sphere, and that the first man was made a living soul. Verse 45. Thus, this is only accomplishable in the spiritual sphere, where in the last man, Adam, amen, is the life-giving spirit, the 45th verse. As the spiritual man was not first, but the natural, speaking of the manifestation, then the spiritual, amen. So you don't mix the spiritual man up. You don't say, I go from the natural man to the spiritual man. Then I mess up, I go back to the natural man. And then I clean up, I go back to the spiritual man. Then I mess up, I go back to the natural man. So I'm flowing back between the natural man and the spiritual man. That's what we're taught. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in these bodies. And according to whom you are focusing on, it's who you identifying with.
All right.
Yes.
When the focus is on the natural man, that's who you identify with.
Yes.
And when the focus is on the spiritual man, that's who you identify with. You see, this is how it works. This is how it works. But here he's speaking concerning the order of God's decree. Believe it or not, the new creation was created before creation, before the essence of what we know as creation. God in eternity created the new entity and placed us into the body of Christ.
All right, that's
in eternity.
That's all right.
I know what we're taught. We're taught that as we're saved, that we believe upon Jesus, we're put into the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's what we're taught.
So people are being placed in the body of Christ every day. People are being saved every day. No! The manifestation of salvation is occurring every day.
All right.
Yes.
Make it plain.
There was one act, one decree, where God baptized, identified all believers and placed them into the body of Christ in eternity. Daily manifestation of what God did in eternity. Remember, the action is in the decree.
Yeah.
Now I see.
Thank God.
Yes.
If you don't understand this, because sometimes we focus and we identify with the natural man, and it's bound to cause us to really, 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 really be down in the dumps.
Down.
That's it.
Because when we identify with the old man, we somehow get it mixed up in our mind that he's the new man gone wrong.
Uh-oh. Come on here.
That he is the new man that is messed up, but the new man can't mess up.
Come on here.
Because the new man is perfect.
Yes.
And the new man, hallelujah, has been placed into the body of Christ.
Yes.
We've just got to learn to identify with the right one.
Ooh.
That's the new man.
Yes. Yes.
Follow this now. I hope I'm not losing anybody here. Woo, hallelujah. The distinction of the physical, of the natural man, from the spiritual man, gives testimony to the fact that the creation is not accomplishable through conversion of the old, but resurrection of the new. Thus, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. As there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. In the 44th verse, accordingly, we view the twofold workings of the Spirit of God on behalf of His elect. Now, follow me now. I won't lose anybody. Number one, the new creation, the new man. He is confirmed in righteousness and holiness of the truth, fully positioned in the body of Christ in eternity. Repeat that. The new man, who is the new creation, is confirmed in righteousness and holiness of the truth, fully, not partially, fully positioned in the body of Christ in eternity. Period.
Yes.
Now, the new convert.
All right.
Fully manifested and identified with the body of Christ, yet he's presently tempered in the fleshly body physically, but progressively developing and maturing in the mind in the sphere of time, proportionally as he identifies with the eternal occurrence.
Oh my God.
I'm going to repeat that.
Yes.
I'll go very slowly.
Yes, yes.
The new convert.
New convert.
The new one who has come to a knowledge of salvation in the sphere of time.
All right.
He's fully manifested through testimony, through revelation of who he is. He is fully identified with the body of Christ. Because the new creation, the new man, hallelujah, in essence, is a new creation, because the old man is the old Adam that's in a tempered body who is still in Adam, yet he's identified with the fact of, that he is not in Adam, but he is in Christ. And this is what is meant when he said, put off the old man, or haven't put off the old man, or not identifying with him, but identifying with the new creation.
Hey. Yes.
The old man, He is presently. We're all in our glorified bodies. No. I don't care how good you feel today, how saved you feel today. Don't you ever think that you are temperate in the glorified body. You are presently temperate in the flesh. All flesh. You're just as saved as you're ever going to be, but you're presently tempered in these fleshly bodies. And he's not to be confused with the new creation.
All right.
Yes.
And the difference is, who are we identifying with? Now, when we identify with Adam, which is very easy to do.
Absolutely.
That's who we feel. That's who we know. And unfortunately, that's who some of us are very comfortable with. And you can dress him up.
Oh, yeah.
People talk about, you know, how holy they are and how, you know, what they don't do. And thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. But don't ever say what you won't do. Don't ever say what Adam won't do. Now, we can say what the new creation won't. We can say what Christ won't do. But let's not ever say what Adam won't do. And see, the word of God comes to get us to focus on Christ, the new man, and away from Adam, the old man. So the maturation is progressive development of the mind in its identification with the earthly man. The heavenly man. So this is why this ludicrous nomination, they begin to, as I've said a few weeks ago, to concentrate and prioritize dress. And of course, dress, that's, you know, as I told the brother, certain colors and things, I hope they don't show up here. But if they do, that has nothing to do with the new man or the old man. You know, some denominations, it's based on dress code, because that's the new man. No, don't you ever think that your body is the new body. Your body is the old body. Your body is Adam. But identification progressively is not with Adam, it's with Christ.
Yes.
This is why one place says, "As you have learned Christ, walk in Him."
Yes.
In Christ. There's a scripture we're going to get to in the second part, maybe in the third part, where it speaks about the outward man. He's perishing. Inwardly we are renewed.
Yes.
Speaking of maturation in the mind. There's nothing you can do about Adam. He's condemned.
Already condemned. Epitaph written.
Alright. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to bail out this morning. Now as we progress in the discourse, we look at verse 11 of Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. A deacon, read that.
Colossians 3 and 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all and in all.
Now from the Greek text. Well, one is not Greek, Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all in all. You see, we said new man, you know, just get the focus off of, amen, the flesh. And next is reading this verse. Note its similarity to Galatians 3:28. It's a birth based on a base scripture, and also 1 Corinthians 12:13. Where it eliminates all physical distinctions, mm-hmm. in that we have a Greek coordinating conjunction, opu, rendered were, identifies the obvious situation wherein such is the order. Here it is noted that the body of Christ is the only accommodation for all racial, natural, social, and economic distinctions. We spent time saying let's focus all the way from there. Basically, majority of those that are here, basically in this assembly, part of this assembly, Afro-American, and it's good to have some pride in the heritage, but that's flesh. Mm-hmm. You only take that so far. That's right. Flesh.
That's right.
In body of Christ, there are no such distinctions. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the body of Christ, it is absolutely non-existence. The basic focus of this verse is exemplified by, we have a Greek phrase, ala ta panda ke impasin Christos, rendered, but the all and in all Christ. Another rendering of this could be verse, the all and in all is Christ. As the identity of all is Tapanda, the all, Christos, Christ, in passing, in all, thus all members of the body discard all other distinctions and are known only by those in Christ. So when we speak about the body in Christ, Jew, in Christ, Gentile, male, female, no, gender, amen, race, all distinction, amen, are lost, amen. When you say body member, the only thing that we're interested in is in Christ, amen, because amen. It's all in all about Christ.
Yeah.
In other words, it is all about Him, in Him, yeah. and outside of Him,
yeah.
amen, there is nothing, amen, that one should focus on or be identified with. Amen. It's all about Him.
Praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Glory.
So, in this view, as I close for the day, Christ is all.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is all.
Glory.
He's not something. He's everything. He's all, as He is the essence of all prerogatives, all blessings, and He absorbs in Himself all that comprise justification, sanctification, and glorification. Thus the church is a spiritual domicile, as the earthly body is a natural one. God utilizes natural body, which we see, and I'm going to come back over this, which we see, feel, and understand, uses it to function as a spiritual mural, revealing by reflection what we all who are yet in the flesh will manifestly imitate. Using this physical metaphor, God is able to reveal to us the nature and operation of His spiritual habitation in the church. The view of the natural dwelling entails all parts of the body, from eye to toe, lung to liver, heart to hamstring, functioning by the authority of the head.
Mm-hmm.
all body parts, seen and unseen, are kept functioning and are sustained by the will of the head, speaking in the natural. Each individual body part, small or great, is accountable to obey the head. The same holds true in the spiritual body, the church. Each member is accountable directly to Christ. And each member's life is drawn to him. I think we were saying, you know, in Sunday school this morning, amen, you see, this is a personal relationship that we have in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. The only one you answer to is Christ.
Thanks.
The only one I answer to is Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
And you're not responsible for me, and I'm not responsible for you as it relates to my position in Christ. Mm. Christ has placed us all into the body. And so I'm not to worry about as whether you're a member of his body or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have no control of that.
Mm-hmm.
Neither I am to judge one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Somebody say, I'm going to heaven. I want to see my mother. We won't have the same relationships.
No.
All body parts will have its concentration on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Its affection ultimately will be on the head. And because its affection will be so affixated on the head, it will influence the body members' affection to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And remember now, what did we say? All physical distinctions are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So in the body of Christ, there is no mother, father, sister, brother, favorite auntie, and uncle. There are no distinction of children.
Mm-hmm.
I know that cuts close to some mothers.
Mm-hmm.
In the body of Christ, there is no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
All the function is on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's follow what the scripture is teaching us. Your affections is on Christ, and the affections of Christ affectuate what the body members feel for each other.
Mm-hmm.
It is the motivation of Christ that caused me to love you. And this is what is taught to us now, that through our minds we should love each other because we are members of the body of Christ. But in the essence, when it comes to manifestation, this is how the body works. Each body member's affection to its other will be predicated upon whatever I feel about the head. That's what I feel about the present. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel about. I will feel about the other. Body member will be motivated by what I feel about the head.
All right.
So I'm sad to tell you this, but you won't be looking for your favorite auntie or your grandmother when you get there.
Just the head.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's on the head. Let me finish this. I know I'm going to come back to this next week. Oh, Lord. In the spiritual body, again, each member is accountable directly to Christ. And each member's life is drawn directly from him. There is no chain of command when one body part reports to another in a corporate mode, who in turn report to other components. Such as in the body, that is in the body, this does not hold true. Each member has a direct relationship to the head. What is true is that life is distributed throughout member to member. If the flow of life is cut off to any member, it will perish. But we must remember that we receive this life flow blood from the direct source, Christ the head. So then we receive life through the functions of the church, as our authority always come to us directly from the head. In the natural body, the finger does not receive the command to move from the hand It receives it from the head. And the same is true for the hand or arm, etc. The finger of the hand is, however, dependent on the hand for its life flow. We pinch off this life flow of the blood, interrupting it between the hand and the finger will die. Thus we as the body of Christ are co-joined to each other and under the authority of the head, which imparts to all parts ongoing spiritual life. The health and power of the spiritual body of the church is exclusively invested in its only reliable source, which it has been perfectly created, void of any flaws and insusceptible to the interruption of the flow of life that could weaken the members. Thus, there is no sense of degree of efficiency that could be quantitatively expressed in terms of its bare necessities, as its efficacy is invested in its creator and maker, its Christ. In this view, our focus must be on the attributes of the head, Jesus Christ, and who he is. To correctly assess this, note that he is God. Jesus must be God. The whole thing is messed up if Jesus is not God. He is God, as testified by the fact that he was pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him. Amen. Oh my God, I'm going to cut off for the day. Whew, hallelujah. Know why we're going through all of this? Amen. Because it's tough out there.
Yep.
There's so many things that can mess you around and mess you up out there. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the fight is? You know where the competition is? Not so much out there. The competition is in the mind. What we know, what we think, what we feel, what we internalize, what we understand. This is where the battleground is. And unfortunately, the church has chose to focus on Adam and the things that please Adam. The church has focused on accommodating, as we conveyed earlier, today in the pastor's pen and reading it to you, accommodating the pleasures of the flesh and the pleasures of Adam. When in our contract, the information is given that all the alignment of what God has done in the new creation is there for the pleasure of Christ. So the question is, who is going to be pleased? Amen. What is the essence of pleasure? It is that which accommodates Adam, or is it that which accommodates Christ? Amen. And to this end, whoever is accommodated is the one who is identified with. If our identity is on Adam, then we will seek to please Adam. Will seek to accommodate him in every aspect. Many churches, especially the seeker-sensitive crowd, amen, they are going to great pains to find out what makes Adam tick and what moves Adam, what motivates Adam. Amen, huh? Which is in direct contrast to what the Spirit of God, to his word, is teaching us. He's saying, get away from Adam. Focus away from Adam. I can remember coming up, my mother used to always tell us, and why did she testify to this? Stay away from the bad crowd. Bad boys, bad, you know, kids. You know, not that we were so good, but right. She meant what she was talking about, the crowd that did certain things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Stay away from it. I'm using that as a very crude example. The essence is, get away from Adam.
Focus away.
Fo- focus away from the flesh.
Jesus.
Move out of the realm, amen, of satisfying, walking with, amen, and trying, amen, to aggrandize the workings of the flesh. Move away from the flesh. Amen. This is why it is conveyed that the outward man, that is in the child of God, each day he perishes. He is being destroyed. He is being removed. Remember, in the essence, the way sin is eliminated is God gets rid of Adam. So focus away from him and identify with the essence of who you are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
And in our minds,
yes,
we follow the things of Christ. We follow the things of God, not the things that I like. So now we say, it's not my will, Lord, it's your will. It's not what I like, it is what pleases him. So bottom line is this. Our focus is on our eternal state, which is completely opposite and in contrast to who we are now in the flesh. Even to the end, the scripture says, don't identify with them. Haven't put him off. How can you say we have put him off when we're in the flesh? We have put him off because we don't identify with him. We identify with the fact that he is dead, that Adam is destroyed. And we concentrate on the essence of Christ Jesus. I'll get back into this again next week. It's going to take a little time to float through this. And I know we're not talking about, and I understand, you know, the way to pack the house is, you know, like I just said, you know, you accommodate Adam, you talk about things. See, let's just focus on things and talk about things people can relate to. Well, I'm afraid of what we can relate. I'm afraid of what I relate to. What do we relate to? The flesh, the workings of the flesh, the thoughts of the flesh, the emotions of the flesh, the affections of the flesh. No! Don't focus and don't relate and don't identify with him. Identify with the one that we shall be. So it's not about who I am now. It's about who I will be and shall be and who I am in the essence of Christ Jesus, a new creation. God bless you.
Glory, hallelujah. Lord, help us, Jesus. You know, usually when the one giving the altar call, the invitation, whatever you want to call it, get up, he tried to relate to, revamp, recap over the message that has just gone forth. But if I do that, I will mess something up. We just need more of this. I say, Lord, help us.